Blog Talk Radio.
This is the ACAC Radio Network. Welcome to Ministry Beat, a show designed to highlight the latest happenings here at Allegheny Center Alliance Church with your host, John Stanko. This program will focus on people, events, and current ministries at ACAC, a vibrant urban congregation in the heart of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And now, here is your host, John Stanko.
Well, hello out there in Internet Radio Land. This is John Stanko, your host, back again, the re-engaged, reinvigorated Ministry Beat show after a couple month hiatus, having been out of the country so much, and now I'm back and in the country and just able to devote a little more time and attention to radio. Today we have Karen Dilleman, who will be joining us in a few minutes. Karen, a mainstay, important part of what goes on at ACAC, and has some new roles and title, and we want to hear all about that and get to know her a little bit better. So in just a moment, I'll be bringing her on. Of course, the big news, well, there's two big news. One is Pastor Blaine, of course. We prayed for him over the weekend. The last report I got, and maybe Karen will have an update when she comes on, but that he was in some pain, but they hope to have him in his step-down room later tonight. And it did go well. It actually ended up being quadruple bypass, and so we're glad that he's doing well, and we look forward to more reports. Now, as far as the news for this weekend, it's marathon weekend. Of course, the Pittsburgh Marathon is the big weekend is Saturday, Sunday. The actual race is on Sunday. And in case you live on another planet and you haven't heard, we do not have the 8:30 service this weekend. The first one is 9:50, and we are having a special dinner on Saturday night, free family pasta dinner from 4:30 to 6 in Simpson Hall, where we invite you to enjoy dinner together as a family or with friends and then attend SAT at 6. And, of course, we have nursery and children's care and ministry during the SAT at 6. So if you want to avoid Sunday's craziness with the marathon, at least in the early morning. Once, 11:15, 12:30 services, not a problem. 8:30 is canceled. 9:50 can be a little tight with depending on when they open up the streets. So please check the ACAC website. Call the church if you have any questions about the schedule or what's going on. And there are a lot of cool things going on with the marathon itself. And of course, the UIF choir will be out on the church steps singing to people as they go by, encouraging them on. We always get lots of great feedback. And so if you want to come down, there's a free pancake breakfast. You just may have to park, either get there real early before they close the streets or park someplace on the other side up towards Allegheny General and walk over to the church, and you'll have lots of company and lots of things going on and get to watch the runners. I'm not particularly into the marathon or the excitement that goes with it, but I know many people are, so, and it's obviously thousands of people will be running, so what do I know? So if that floats your boat, if that's something that interests you, then come on out this weekend. The streets do close at 6, but a pancake breakfast will be served at the church. We do ask you, and you can park in the mall garage parking, but that's once the streets open up at 9:30. Anyway, call the church, go to the website if you have any questions. But in the meantime, let me go ahead and bring our guest on today, Karen Dilleman. Hi, Karen. Welcome to Ministry Beat.
Hi, John.
Let me ask, and we're going to obviously talk about you, but do you have any more information on Blaine? How's he doing? How's his condition?
I really don't have much more than what you just let everyone know. They have requested prayer for pain. He had some stomach pain, but, you know, he went out and had a steak last night or the night before surgery, yeah. So I don't know. That could have been part of the problem.
he was going to enjoy his regular diet until the end.
He said the last thing before the lettuce.
Yeah, yeah. Now, your family went through some heart trauma and challenges last year. What was that like for you when Pastor Rock had his heart attack?
Yeah, I mean, he walked over here to the office and said, "I'm just really not feeling that well. I think I'm gonna walk up to the hospital." And I said, "Oh, okay." I said, "I'm really busy here, so yeah, go for it. You know, if you're not feeling well." So yeah. I did not know about it till it was all over with. But he had a very painful heart attack. You know, describes it. People say it's like the elephant sitting on the chest, but he said it was unbelievable. It was like electric shock running down his arms, and they just kept walking out of the room, and he was like screaming, something's going on here. And I missed it all. I got a call from the hospital saying that he was out of the cath room and that he had had a heart attack, and that was the first I knew about it.
Yeah. Yeah. What's it been like since then? Has he had to have you guys, or has he had to change lifestyle, diets? What are the ongoing implications?
Yeah, well, he has done really well. He had a lot of physical therapies after the fact. And I thank the Lord that when he had the checkup, his heart that had been badly damaged had really recuperated quite well. He got in some much better shape running on that treadmill, and he's kept that up, not as much perhaps as I would like to see him, but he's still getting up and running on that treadmill and lifting some weights, and the big thing is the sodium, the low sodium diet. That's how he lost weight, just by not eating all the salt. Yeah, when you cut out salt, it cuts out a lot.
Yeah, that's my weakness. I love the pretzels and the hard-boiled egg with salt. And I'll eat vegetables and then I pour salt on them, radishes or celery or whatever. So tell our listeners a little bit about you, where you were born, where you were raised. And I know everybody would be interested if they haven't heard the story of how you met Pastor Rock.
Okay. Well, I was born in Rochester, Pennsylvania, but my family moved to Butler when I was like in first grade. And so Brock and I both went to schools there in Butler. He was 2 years ahead of me, and we went to the same Alliance Church, and said hello, but wasn't much more than that. And then he got saved that one summer from Duquesne and ended up transferring to NIAC. And I also went to NIAC at the same time. And so, being from the same home church and now we're both at NIAC, we would chat. And I remember pinning the corsage. He had at the Sadie Hawkins dance, the freshman queen had actually chased him. He said he didn't run too fast. And I remember pinning the corsage, helping him pin her corsage on that night and everything, and, not really giving things much thought. And then one summer when we were both home, we just joked around and said we were going to go to our senior prom at the church because it was usually a pretty rinky-dink affair. And we were just laughing about it because it was taking like a school bus down McKnight Road to eat at a buffet, and we just jokingly joked about it, and we ended up going together. And he never, we never said much to each other. And then about a month later, he asked me to go see a movie. And I said, "Well, what movie? I've been to all of them in town." And he goes, "Well, I was thinking about taking you down to one in Pittsburgh." And I said, "Oh, okay." So that was our first date. We came down to see the Hawaiians here in Pittsburgh. And we've been together pretty much ever since.
Now, when did you know the Rock was going to be a pastor? Was that always on the radar? Did you, once you were engaged, after you were married, when did the pastor or the call come into your awareness?
Well, I wanted to be a pastor's wife, and
did you?
When we, yeah, I did, because I grew up in a non-churched family. My mother was Catholic and had a Catholic statue in her bedroom, but she never went. But I started going with a friend who was actually the pastor's daughter. And so I spent tons of time in their home. And I just loved what I saw. I just loved the pastor's wife was pretty cool and did a lot of things with us, played games every Sunday. And I just liked their home. It was a fun home. I found a lot of fun in their home. And I thought, I think it'd be really cool to be a pastor's wife. So go off to college. I'm looking for somebody to marry that's going to be a pastor. And Rock, that was his career path at the time. When he left Duquesne for the music ministry, he felt called from the music ministry into the pastorate. I mean, he was destined to play in nightclubs and everything else before the Lord got a hold of him and switched his music career into the pastoral tract and lost all those credits. But so when I got engaged to him, I thought he was going to be a pastor. And then he started talking about every other profession in the world, like, the Lord needs men in psychology, and the Lord needs men here and that, And I just kind of let it ride, and his dad said, yeah, but the Lord needs men in the ministry. And, I just let it play through, but I'm thinking like, hey, this is not what I bargained for, because we're already married now, and he's talking another career path. But, he said he was predestined because his dad prayed since the day he was born and even before he was born that he would have a son that went into the ministry. So he didn't. He always says he didn't have a whole lot of choice because of his praying dad.
Yeah. You mentioned his dad, Howard. Of course, I was involved in helping Michael publish the book about Howard Dilliman. Talk about your memories of Howard, and I'm sure you have a lot of them, but just what are some of the things you remember, even early on when you met him?
Yeah, he was the sweetest man. He, he just kept his testimony his whole life. I mean, even when he was in, a bed in his final days. But he was just always so sweet and so up. And I know he took Rock out to help me buy a diamond ring because he just thought, he thought a lot of me, I guess, which says a lot, because it wasn't like I was a girl from a fine Christian home and all this stuff. But he was just cool to be around. He loved to play the harmonica, and he loved kids. He loved all of us, and he was just a very giving, generous person. And I know, some older people, they get a little mean as they age, he just always had that grace, and then his Bible was just a whole nother story. I mean, we inherited his Bible, and if you saw it, it's just held together by duct tape. He would never get himself a new Bible because all of his notes were in this one. And it was just a sight to behold. It was about 10 times thicker than its original thickness because of how many times he had been through it and how many papers he had stuck inside with notes on it. So I loved him. He was a great man of God. And I remember going into their home and he was in the back office having his devotions and spending time with the Lord. It was just a very, very godly man.
Yeah. When you went to NIAC, what did you major in?
I majored in English, and then I went down the road a little bit to St. Thomas Aquinas and got some credits so that I would get my elementary education degree as well, because at the time NIAC wasn't offering that. So I went down there and had some instruction from the nuns down at St. Thomas Aquinas.
And so you thought you wanted to be a teacher, or you were a teacher?
Oh, I'm definitely a teacher, and so I had my English degree, but then I had this degree in elementary education.
And so, when you graduated NIAC, where were you off to? What did Rock do? What did you both do?
We went down to Asbury Seminary. Seminary had not been in existence for a year, and all the professors told Rock not to wait. So sight unseen, we drove down to Asbury and lived in one of their cement block duplexes for the next 3 years with a train track right behind us, and finished our put hubby through degree. Because I was able to get a teaching job, which, you know, was kind of hard to come by. But I did work at a clothing store my first year, and I started subbing at the school. My boss allowed me to sub because if I subbed, then I had to work the night shift at the mall. I was at the mall, and he loved having all the nights off when I had to work. And so by the time the second year rolled around, I got a job teaching 7th grade English at the junior high school there in, what do you call it? Wilmore, yeah. Wilmore, Kentucky. So I loved that. It was great. It was my first teaching job, and it was great. The pay was great, at least in those days, for kids going through seminary, so it was great. I was thrilled. Yeah. I was thrilled to get that job.
Sure, really, sure.
Yeah.
And so then Rock graduates, and where do you go from there?
Our first church was in Newcastle, PA. Rock was just the youth. He was their first youth pastor, and they made a one-year commitment, and we made a one-year commitment to them. And that's what we did our first year out with Pastor Nicholson, who was just wonderful. He was such a mentor. He and his wife, Ruth, just took us under their wing and mentored us that year. And the following year, we got a call to go to Northeast Pennsylvania, which is just northeast of Erie. And we were there for 7 years before we came here to Pittsburgh.
So you have you had your dream. You were a pastor's wife. Did it meet your expectations, exceed them, fall short of them? What did you think?
I've always loved it. But I'm probably not your typical pastor's wife either. At least I think pastor's wives have changed a lot since the pastor's wife that I observed, you know, that gave me this idea to be a pastor's wife. I think pastor's wives today are especially once the children are out of the home, you know, they want to serve and they want to be a part of their husband's ministry. They don't want to go do that at some other church. And many of them are trained to serve. And so I've always, you know, served. I've been on the church staff now since Autumn went to kindergarten, and Autumn's going to be 33 years old in September. So it's been a long time since I've been on staff here at church.
Yeah. So so you were up in the Northeast for 7 years, and I've had Keith Turnbull on the show, and he's talked about going up and scouting Rock out and helping to extend the invitation. What were your thoughts when you were coming back home, so to speak, closer to home, into the city of Pittsburgh, ACAC? What reminisce? What were your thoughts when the call came?
Well, I think in Rock's heart anyway, he always felt that the Lord would have him be here at Allegheny Center. I mean, he bought the Pittsburgh paper every day for the entire 7 years. I think it was only because of the sports teams. He loves sports. He always felt that someday God would call us here to Pittsburgh. And so when it opened up, it was almost an immediate, like, that's where we're going to go. And he has a hard time leaving, so even that, you know, just like he couldn't make up his mind to be a pastor, he has a hard time leaving. And so it was a matter of like, oh, I know God wants me there, but I can't say goodbye to all these people. He really does, you know, fall in love with his people. And so, you know, I had to just say, now you know God is calling you to Pittsburgh, so why are you dragging your feet, you know? And normally I try to stay completely out of it, you know. As people have asked me that question about even, like, some of those other decisions about when he was considering the presidency of our denomination. I said, I just kind of back up and let God work that out with him. I don't try to influence a whole lot because he's the one that's got to find God's direction. But I knew in that case at Northeast he was dragging his feet because he had already told me the Lord had called him to Pittsburgh. He had told me that many times.
Wow.
So I wasn't going to let him drag his feet on that one.
Okay. So you come down. Now, what are your earliest recollections of ACAC? What do you remember?
My earliest recollection is looking out over a congregation of all people with white and gray hair.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very aging congregation. It really was. There were no young families. That is my earliest thing that I recognize as I look out over the congregation. Everybody
mm-hmm.
here is old, and we've got to get some younger families involved.
Mm-hmm. And I know Rock felt the same. Was he discouraged, or he just put his hand to the plow and he just kept moving?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think he got discouraged. I can't remember a time when he was really discouraged. I mean, sometimes he would get frustrated that it just seemed like two people would come in the front door and four would leave out the back door
mm-hmm.
because of some
mm-hmm.
work transfer or something. So sometimes that got a little frustrating. But mostly the work here at Allegheny Center has been really, really exciting and rewarding. The people are great. The
mm-hmm.
the diversity is wonderful. So I think Rock would have to die of a heart attack to get him out of here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he loves it.
Yeah.
And I love it too.
Oh, I know you do. But tell us about your children.
Jason is our oldest. Let's see. He is 39, and he's married to Brianna. They have three children, little towheads. They've got, they're like, what are they, like 8, 6, and 4, something like that,
mm-hmm.
or no, 6, 4, and 2, that's it, 6, 4, and 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then Shannon is our middle child, and she's married to Rico. He was actually born in the Philippines, and they have two children, and they're 10 and 8. And then our daughter Autumn, will be 33 in September. I always think of 33 because that was the age of Jesus when he died.
Mm-hmm.
Of that
mm-hmm.
is a special age. But anyway,
mm-hmm.
she is a school teacher at Falk and
mm-hmm.
took after her mother, and she has just even way exceeded. She's just a wonderful teacher.
Yeah.
She teaches at mm-hmm. Falk, which is a private school on the Pitt campus.
Yeah, yeah. I run into her every now and then out of Panera's. They must have their meetings there at the one by McGee Hospital, so I run
okay.
into her every now and then. She always looks happy. And I had her on the Saturday radio show I have. She was just a delightful interview. I still remember that. She was as upbeat and positive about ACAC and ministry as you are, and had nothing but great things to say. It was just really a special testimony to your family and to you and Rock and the way you raised the children. It was just really really great. Now, when she went to kindergarten, you said you got involved in the ministry. Talk to us about how you got involved and what you were doing.
Well, when Autumn was in kindergarten, I started teaching at Eden Christian Academy. So I taught at Eden until Shannon went into ninth grade. So
uh-huh.
then it was after that I came to Allegheny Center. I was their first children's pastor that they hired.
Really? Uh-huh.
And then, yeah, then I had some other roles as well.
Uh-huh.
But I
Talk
was
to us
first.
About, I mean, you built a magnificent, if I may say, children's ministry. And I'm not just saying that because you're on the show. I've said that to you and said it many
mm-hmm.
times to other people. What did you find when you came in, and what was your philosophy of building such a wonderful program as we enjoy now?
When I first took over, you know, sometimes we wouldn't know if a teacher was going to show up, or, you know,
mm-hmm.
you have a classroom of kids and you throw on a video. There wasn't a plan, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, we didn't have adequate space. We had kids located in the basement one place and third floor of another place and even a
uh-huh.
third place. And it was difficult, but, you know, I just came in first and got things organized. And then God opened up that wonderful space across the street where we completely gutted the third floor of a high-rise, which
uh-huh.
is really an office space, and built this wonderful space for kids. And they just come running in 5 days
uh-huh.
a week after school and four services on Sunday, and it's just, the kids love it, and it's just so rewarding to have them come running in with such excitement. And I think for me, one of the coolest things that I ever got to do was to help design that space.
Uh-huh.
I had a gal in our church here, Deb Culverese,
uh-huh.
and she told me that she wasn't an architect, but she knew how to do CAD drawings, and so she worked
uh-huh.
with me. We never used an architect, and we designed that space over there, and, you know, it stood the test of time. It still looks great over there, and the kids
yeah.
are still running in, and we got to put together a curriculum that was real easy for the teachers to pull off, that sees the kids through the Bible in a chronological kind of order. So
uh-huh.
besides knowing all the Bible stories, they know how they fit together.
Yeah.
And the lessons are very easy for the teachers to prepare.
Yeah. When I joined ACAC, we first started coming 2001. That was long before the building across the street. And I just remember how we had to use downstairs. But it worked. Why did it grow? What were you offering before you even had the space that attracted parents and children and made them so committed to the ministry?
You know, I've been in some churches where it's almost like going to Disney World, and we just didn't have that here. We didn't have the space or the money to do that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
I really focused on making sure the teacher was always there, because it was a relationship with the teacher that
uh-huh.
was going to keep the kids coming back. So I made sure there was always a qualified teacher in the room, and
uh-huh.
I made sure that the teacher always had, you know, everything she needed to conduct a good class, and I really stressed Bible basics, you know, and teaching the Bible in chronological order. And I have that little phrase, if you build it, they will come. And I just feel like a lot of churches will say, well, we don't really have much of a children's ministry because we don't have that many children that come. And my philosophy is, if you build it, they will come. You know,
uh-huh.
the children will come, and when they come, uh-huh. they will bring along their parents. And if they want to come back because they had a really good experience in your children's ministry, that's going to bring in the whole family. And we had a great
uh-huh.
outreach program with clubs, and,
uh-huh.
You know, that was a feeder into our Sunday program. So,
yeah. Talk a little bit about clubs. Was this your did you develop that? Were you the one that instituted clubs, and what are they?
Well, our church had had clubs for years. I think they had had what they called Pioneer Girls, and I think they called the boys, I think they called it Battalion, but they weren't using Battalion material. But
uh-huh.
They had used actual Pioneer Club material for 30-some years. And when I come in and we actually took a good look at the lessons and we had the teachers, like, give us feedback, they weren't all that happy with them in our setting. You know, some of the activities were not meant for urban kids to,
uh-huh.
you know, they weren't even really feasible. You know, building a golf course in your backyard with your dad might not be feasible for our urban neighborhood kids.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm a great copier. I'm not a great person to have original creative ideas. But
uh-huh.
I took a good look at a lot of curriculums. And we just pulled what we thought was the best out of everybody's and
uh-huh.
put it together into one curriculum and, you know, wrote it up in a program that worked for us. And I think they've pretty much been using it ever since. I keep waiting to hear from them that they're going to quit using Karen's materials. And I'm going to feel badly, but that will be their right. So,
yeah. How did you get so many volunteers involved?
I think we get so many volunteers involved because we make it so easy.
Mm-hmm.
I called the curriculum for dummies, because anybody can prepare it and it doesn't take you much time. You could actually wing it. You could come in the class. I set the lesson up A, B, C, D, such an easy way that if you had to wing it, not that I would want you to wing it, but if you had to wing
right.
it, you could. And we have a fabulous resource room over there. It has got everything in it. One teacher called it a teacher's dream. So there's, you know, you don't have to be running out on Saturday night because you forgot to buy the Fruit Loops or you forgot to buy the yarn or you forgot to buy the glue or whatever it is. We have this incredible resource room. Anybody's welcome to come visit it. It's just fabulous. I've never seen, even in bigger churches, I've not seen one I like any better than ours. It's just incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, when I've been over there, I see you've got more stuff there than some countries have in the whole nation, you know, when I travel to Africa. Because you got you know, if you have pipe cleaners, you have every color, everything we would ever need where pipe cleaners are concerned. 2009, you made a transition. Talk to us about the transition out of children's ministry.
Yeah, in 2009, I remember it was in January. I think you had something to do with that decision. Yeah, they came and said, Karen, what would you think of moving into adult ministry? Just temporarily, just step out of children's ministry and help us start a new initiative that we're going to call Growth Groups for Adults. And then once you get them started, you can go back to children's ministry. Well, I never did go back to children's ministry because they were doing such a great job without me over there. So why should I come back?
I had such a wonderful
staff that had been with me for a long time, and they were perfectly capable of taking over. So I never felt compelled to go back. And meanwhile, I felt needed in adults, so that's where I stayed for a while.
Yeah. What was it like getting the growth group started, and what's it been like now to look back and see them running for 5 years?
Yeah, okay. When we start talking about this new initiative, they would be sermon-based growth groups. So people would go in, listen to the sermon, and then they would leave and they would go to a room where we would have a facilitator, not a teacher, but a facilitator whose job was to get everyone talking, and they would discuss questions around mostly applying the sermon now to your life. And the whole purpose of the group was more building relationships and making friends than it was in obtaining Bible knowledge. That wasn't the goal, just to get more Bible knowledge. And I think they were successful. I think they are successful. I mean, people say I didn't make a friend until I finally, you know, went to a growth group. And now I have people that I consider my family. And so in a large church, those smaller groups that become family are so indispensable to making what Larry Osborne calls your church sticky. And so that they stick because they have friends and people that they talk to that they look forward to seeing when they come into your church. And that's what it should be all about, because we really feel like people are only going to be transformed by rubbing up against other Christians and, you know, learning from each other. They're not going to do it on their own. So that was our whole idea behind growth groups.
And you and Rock led one for quite a while. What was that experience
like?
Yeah,
we still do. We're still leading the Saturday night group.
Okay.
And I lead one for the ladies on Tuesday. Tuesday morning, ladies' Bible study. I lead a group of women for that as well. You know, that Saturday night group has really become our family. We've been with them for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years now anyway, right? And, yeah, we look forward to seeing them every week, and they enjoy being in, getting a little personal attention from the senior pastor, I guess.
Yeah, that doesn't hurt, yeah. You mentioned women's ministry, and I know you've gotten immersed in that more, because it wasn't just growth groups. You were, as much as anybody, heading up the adult life ministry of the church. And for you, that also involved the women's ministry. Talk about how that's changed and how it's going now.
We kind of kept the same format that it had before I came on. But it's been pretty stable. I don't know. I'm trying to think. We do have a change, of course, coming in that we've hired a part-time women's director, so I will be stepping out of my role there in heading up the women's ministry. But we basically have a large group Bible study teaching. We have fellowship together first with some food and some fun, and then we worship together, and then we have the large group study, and then we divide into small groups, which is very much like the growth group concept, and then we discuss the, the lesson that we just learned, and pray for each other and support each other, and that kind of thing. So, you know, it's great for women to have a time to get together. They need that support of each other.
And now, yet another transition. Talk to us about your latest assignment, and you are going into a new vista, a new realm. Talk to us about what your new duties will involve and entail, and how they are going.
Yeah, well, the admins around here always come up with these great ideas. So it was presented to
you
me.
You can't blame
this
one on me. You can't blame this one on me.
It was presented to me, I don't know, maybe as long as 2 months ago, Karen, would you consider moving down to the worship department? Now, I have no musical ability at all. I've tried through the years, and I'm taking piano lessons, but it's really sad. So I said, I don't have any of those kind of talents, and they assured me what they wanted me to do was to come in and use my administrative gifts and really get the department organized, because I'm hoping to retire next May.
Okay.
And at that point then, hopefully I would have the department all organized and a great job description for someone who they would need to hire after I'm done. And we have a lot of talented people down there, and so it's just a matter of corralling them and, you know, setting some good systems up for them to help them run more efficiently. And I'm really excited about it. I've been up at night thinking of ideas, and just, you know, I get juiced, I guess, by change and new things and being able to do something different. So.
Yeah. And, of course, we transitioned. Pastor Donnie is going to be in pastoral care, and we'll be doing funerals and marriages. And of course, he's been working for many years now on his ordination, and I think that's imminent. Should be finishing that up soon. And I'm sure it's going to be a tough transition for him. He's an audio tech and a guitarist by background. But I know you're very close, and I'm sure it that helps him in the transition. So retirement next May. What are the retirement plans? You don't strike me as the retiring kind. What's on the bucket list? What do you hope to do?
Well, I have two grandchildren that are just 13 doors up, and I would like to be able to invest more time in them. I also have three grandchildren that live in Swickley, and I would like to invest more time in them. I also, I am taking piano lessons, and I honestly feel really comfortable sitting down at that bench and playing for 3 hours a day. I would look forward to being able to really do things like grocery shopping and meal planning and fixing a healthy meal and just doing some things that, you know, when you're working full time and more than full time, you just don't have time for all those extras. And you know,
and you're quite the entertainer. You're quite the entertainer too. We've been in your house on numerous occasions, and you really
I'd like to do more of that too. So, my husband thinks I'll be bored, and he has no intentions whatsoever of retiring. You know, any time that he can see in the foreseeable future. But he's perfectly content if I want to.
Yeah.
And I like to paint. My house needs painted in the inside. And I don't know, I got a lot of a bucket list. But and I'd like to write children's books. I have a lot that I could do if I had the time. And
Oh, yeah. So you'll stay busy. Now, you and Rock have been tripping the light fantastic the last few years. Talk to us about your decision and your involvement in ballroom dancing.
I think it was maybe 5 or 6 years ago, my husband finally bought me the dance package I had been asking for 20 years for Christmas. And the wine princess, I just said, that's all I want is that dance package. So we went down to Arthur Murray and bought, you know, a package of 5 dance lessons. And you think, wow, we're going to learn how to dance in 5 lessons. And you realize after 5 lessons, that's like a drop in the bucket. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, Rock took to it more than I did. Mm-hmm. And because mm-hmm. of his love for music, his love mm-hmm. for rhythm, he's always a great lead because he's always on the beat, unlike mm-hmm. some of the other men in the studio. So he mm-hmm. really took to learning and perfecting dance steps almost more than me. You know, I mm-hmm. enjoy it, but some nights I'm just really weary when we mm-hmm. go out. We go to the studio on Friday night, and we do a private lesson, then we do a group lesson, and then we stay for every Friday night. There's a party from 9 to 10 o'clock at night. Well, mm-hmm. you know, by 10 o'clock, I'm pretty worn out, you know? And it's mm-hmm. like sometimes I feel like I can't even think of the dance steps. But we love it. It's something we do together. We just recently did a little thing at the studio where we did the Viennese waltz.
I saw the video.
It had mm-hmm. it had close mm-hmm. to 2,000 hits on Facebook, so we were
yeah.
excited about that. It wasn't even a very mm-hmm. good video. It was real fuzzy, but
right.
It's something that we really enjoy doing. We haven't been able to use it. And, you know, I originally thought, oh, this way, whenever Rock has all these weddings, you know, we'll be able to get up and dance. But we really haven't gone to a lot of weddings where, you know, we could do that. So most of our dancing
mm-hmm.
has just been at the studio.
Mm-hmm.
But we gave waltz lessons here at the church. We had a marriage renewal on February 14th, Valentine's Day, and we invited all the couples that wanted to renew their vows, and we had a renewal vow ceremony. During the service, we took all their pictures, and then we went downstairs with these wonderful, like, wedding cupcakes prepared by one of our chefs here at the church.
Mm-hmm.
And then Rock and I taught the whole group how to waltz, and we had
mm-hmm.
them. We had the whole group waltzing around the gym, and they had so much fun. And we've been able to sell a few dance lessons every year to benefit our youth going on mission trips.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And so, I mean, the youth will sell 6 lessons with Rock and Karen, and they'll make $600. So then Rock and I give
uh-huh.
the lessons, and they make, you know, they get.
Uh-huh.
So we've been able to do some other things with those lessons as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Karen, what do you see for ACAC? What's the future hold? What's your sense of some of ACAC's destiny? Obviously, and maybe next year for you, and 6, 7, 8, 9 years for Rock. I mean, what do you see for the future?
I think right now we're all kind of running on Rock's vision of expanded influence and feeling that it is time that our church did expand the influence that we are having on our neighborhood and in our world. Our first step of that was trying to get more people into the Word on a daily basis, and we
mm-hmm.
were able to get like 2,000 people signed up to do Bible reading 5 days a week for 91 weeks. We call it 91
uh-huh.
weeks, and that has been off to a good start. I think our next emphasis is going to be on, I think I heard my husband talk about just sort of an emphasis on sin, not that we're going to do
uh-huh.
it, but that we're not going to
uh-huh.
do it.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about that, you know, as far as that aspect. And then also the idea of our witnessing and getting out, you know, our personal evangelism message to
mm-hmm.
those that we have in our circle of friends and being more bold in our witness. And so this summer we're hoping to put some tools in the hands of our people that's going to help them feel more comfortable in doing that. And I don't know, just what's beyond that. I mean, they're talking about expanding the sanctuary for expanded seating.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, and then, of course, we are thinking of starting another church, perhaps in 2016, as part of the expanded influence, and
mm-hmm.
perhaps Pastor Sheldon would go. I think they're looking at the McKees Rocks area,
mm-hmm.
and you know, possibly starting a church plant, which we've never done before. So God is calling us to expand our influence. And we have the Cornerstone TV now that, you know, that I think Rock is what our service is on that. I haven't even seen it. Sorry, but I haven't seen it. And
yeah, it's kind of a limited distribution. It's not,
yeah,
you know, yeah, so it's...
lots of ways to expand, hopefully, our message, get the message out of God's love and people's need for God in their life.
Yeah, and reconciliation and the need for the God, you know, the gospel is the only answer for the challenges we're seeing in people being so divided, and there being such rifts between races and groups and socioeconomic levels, and ACAC has really been in the forefront of that. And so it's very exciting to hear that the church is going to expand influence and look to impact as many people as possible. But Karen, we wouldn't be able to do that if you and certainly many others, but you at the forefront had not devoted your gifts over a couple of decades to see the church become what it is today. So all of us owe you a debt of gratitude, and
we never know
we've had some experience, Catherine and I, in the pressures of ministry and what that does to families and the extra pressures, and you guys have weathered it with grace and joy, and see your children around and to see you around still engaged and energetic and taking on new duties and responsibilities. Just want to say thank you, and we can look to the future because a great foundation has been laid by you and Rock and many, many others who have been impacted by your lives. So, no, thank you. And any final words as we sign off? Anything you want to say to the listeners before you go?
Final words. I'm preaching on Mother's Day.
Okay, so that's coming up on May the 9th, 10th. So, you have your. I know you have your message.
I do. I do have my message.
I know you've been working on it. So,
yeah,
well, we'll be out. We're gonna be in New York that weekend. That's the only reason we miss is when we're out of town. And so, the Lord be with you. I know you did a great job last year, and I know God will be with you this year. And Karen, thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome.
And our prayers and best wishes go with you for the transition into music, and we'll see you around campus.
Thank you. All right,
thanks.
Bye-bye.
God bless. Bye-bye. All right, Karen Dilleman, what a delightful woman. And as I said, ministry is tough. Tough being in ministry. Then when you're married to ministry, it's even more challenging. But the Dillemans love it, and we are the better for it because of their passion and their commitment. Well, this is John Stanko signing off for another week of Ministry Beat. I'm pretty sure I have Pastor Glenn Hanna and Kathy Sigmund on next week, going to talk to us about an initiative from the church with an ethnic group not too far from the church itself. So I've seen them both face-to-face. They said they could do it. I don't have confirmation yet by email, but I'm trusting that it's going to work out next week. If not, we'll do something else because I really am making a commitment to be back and regular, and we're almost pushing. It's 3 years this month that we started Blog Talk Radio, and we're just about to go over 80,000 listeners. I'm really excited when we do cross that. People who have downloaded one of the messages, one of the shows, and been listening, and to me, that's a part of expanded influence too. So in the meantime, this is John Stanko. Thank you for listening, and I look forward to being with you again next week. I get to go do 3 more radio shows because I'm going to be out 3 weekends coming up. So I'm jumping in the car and heading over to Green Tree where I am going to pre-record 3 shows. And I've got 2 of them are ACACers, Janet Hansom and Karen Bailey, who were on the show last week, will be pre-recording one. And Greg Hughes is going to come out and interview me on my own show for the second one, and then my friend Janet Helms, we do work together in Kenya, is going to be coming out for the third one. So this is a great day for me. I get to do 3 shows. But this show is over. So this is John Stanko signing off. Until next week, I will see you around campus. Don't forget Marathon Race weekend this weekend. No 8:30 service. Come Saturday night for a free pasta dinner. And otherwise, we'll see you at one of the other later services on Sunday. You take care. We'll talk to you again soon. So long.
Thanks again for listening to this week's edition of Ministry Beat with your host, John Stanko. Join us again next Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the ACAC Internet Radio Network for more interviews and insight into the life of Allegheny Center Alliance Church. You can also access this show by going online to www.blogtalkradio/ACAC Threads. Thank you, and tell your friends about Ministry Beat.